Welcome in to in-game chat for Saturday. It is the 18th of April, 2026. This is Season 20, Episode 11. And I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
Hey, you're Matt! Hey, Matt's back.
Hello.
Every now and again, Matt shows up. If you want to get in touch with us, then Discord's the way to do it, folks. Head on over there and jump into our Discord. Or, you know, jump on the stream with Twitch, and you can join us in the chat room there and talk to us there. I try to read through the comments when I can remember to do so. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We're streaming right now, like I said, on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv and type in in-game chat in the search bar. You'll be able to find us. Go to our website, ingamechat.net. Scroll all the way to the bottom. There are links there for Twitch. There are links there for Facebook. There are links there for our Discord as well. And we are ready to start the show. We should jump into what we've been playing, really, I guess. And I think I'll go first on this one because it ain't going to be much for me.
All right.
Probably going to be a lot for you, Matt, since it's been a minute. But, yeah, we'll see. The only thing that I've been playing, Marvel Snap, of course, is what, you know, I just continue to play that on my phone. No big deal there. But that that Ratcoin game has been eating my time. It has been gnawing at me every single day of like, let me get home with enough time that I can play some of my Ratcoin and put in some time on that. I think I may stream that tomorrow at some point. I don't know. But it, you know, it triggers the juice in the brain, right?
Yeah.
Where you make the numbers go up and the things and big combinations and combos and explosions and different things happen and just you're trying to break the game. And every time you do, that chemical gets released in your head and you're just like, I broke it. Yay. Let me do it again.
Yeah. What's the last time that happened for you? A game that made you want to get home and play.
Balatro was one.
Yeah,
I mean this is very, very similar to Balatro. Mm-hmm. Even down to the music. It's been a minute since I've heard Balatro's music, but this sounds very similar. Mm-hmm. I believe the publisher is the exact same. Obviously, the developer is not because it's a single developer on, and I don't know how many people developed Ratcoin. Mm-hmm. But man, fun coin pusher rogue like something, I don't know how there's so many differences in that phrasing, but this one is just, it's a lot of fun, and I'm going to stream it tomorrow. Is the best way I can tell you that or to do that is just to show you how it works. You have different characters to pick from. Each character, one, two, hang on, go to my head. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six different characters that you have to. The next one doesn't unlock until you beat the one before it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difficulty modifier that I've not tried yet. So far, I've just been going through beating them on regular difficulty. But there is a difficulty modifier, I guess, that you can go through and use, and I've not tried that yet. But there are many different types of coins that you could obtain in the store. There are many different kinds of what they call chips. Chips are specific, I'm trying to think. Like, there is a chip that you can buy which gives you more tickets every time you knock a coin off, you know? And that'll keep running, and, you know, you can have that as a modifier. And I think you get like four or five places to put them. You get five available chips to pick from at the outset. And every now and again, you get the option that you can add another chip to your card, basically. But you have to buy those modifiers. You don't just get them outright, but you get the spaces for them. And then there is there's prizes. These will randomly, when you trigger them, these little balls will drop from the machine, and within those have little prizes. When they roll off the edge, they go into your prize stack. Some of them, one's called a black hole, which you click it, and then you can hover over a certain part of the machine, click there, and it'll suck in all the coins that are in that machine and score them for you. Mm-hmm. But there's differences there. And then there is the coins themselves, all kinds of different, and I'm talking all kinds of different coins that have, there's a sticky coin that has a bunch of junk on it. And when you throw that into the machine, it has other coins that stick to it.
Yep.
There is an exploding coin, which whenever it touches a regular coin in the machine, it explodes. When it explodes, it pushes coins, away.
Yeah.
It has an explosion. It pushes things away. There is a coin that will... There's the bunny coin, and you really need two of these coins whenever you can pick them from the shop. They only sell you one, but every now and again you can get two. Because you can also buy re-rolls in the shop. These are all that you buy these things with the tickets that you earn from playing the machine. And so a good strategy when you're first starting out with any character is buy modifications, buy coins, buy things that are going to get you tickets. The more tickets you have, the more things you can buy to keep your run going. So always start out with the ticket stuff. Once you've accumulated enough to where it's like, I don't need to worry about gaining tickets anymore, these things are going to give me tickets, you know, you can sell those chips that you have that were giving you tickets and start buying things that are going to help your score multiplier, you know, and that sort of thing, and get better and better. So anyway, there's a whole lot to it, and I'll go over it probably in the stream tomorrow, some of it that I can, just to kind of explain it. I forgot about the prize wheel. So there is a multiplier on the machine that whenever you knock a certain amount of coins, I think it's 8 coins in a row, you build up a bar on this multiplier bar. When you've done it like 3 times, it'll spin a wheel, and the wheel has different sections of prizes. Sometimes it'll give you tickets, sometimes it'll give you prize balls, sometimes it'll give you just coins that just come in. It won't come from your stack of coins to use.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just be like, oh, hey, it's 150 coins, and they'll just drop them in there.
Yeah.
Now, every now and again, it'll land on the question mark. The question mark is the second level of that wheel. There are coins that you can purchase that whenever they're scored, no matter what you spend on the first one, it's always going to take you to the second level. The second level is where your coin towers are. It can land on prize balls, which is takes up the majority of the space on that second wheel. But then there are different areas that have stacks of coins. 550 coins, 200 coins, 74. The number ranges from whatever. You land on one of those, then the pusher slides back, and this big, massive stack of coins grows. And then the pusher comes forward, and it pushes you toward, and you're trying to get those to knock off. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And I'm going to try and try and show you that tomorrow when I go through there. I talk about breaking the game, but also I've read plenty where this has caused people's PCs to crash just because of all the things that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the physics and everything. I don't know about you. I don't know. Have you upgraded? What are you running on your PC now? Have you upgraded or?
Yeah, I upgraded recently.
What you got? How recent? But since the last time you were here.
I think so.
I don't remember the last time you were here. You weren't here, RJ.
Yeah, RJ wasn't here.
When was the last time you were not here?
Oh, goodness.
Which I know last week we weren't because I wasn't feeling well.
Yeah.
Probably a trip or something.
Had to have been.
I think so.
Yeah, I think I had a trip to go.
Was it this year or last year?
Maybe last year.
It had to have been. I think it was last year. I don't think we've seen you since the first
mid
of the year here, Matt.
Mid or late last year somewhere?
I think so. I think in December, actually. I think you were here in December.
Time is weird.
I think you were here in December.
So, anyway. I did upgrade.
What you got?
Did
you do a whole upgrade?
Yes, from scratch.
Oh, boy.
Everything.
How long ago was this?
It was about, like, 2 months.
Okay, so it was during the whole RAM is really expensive
period. When did you see me start playing Cyberpunk? That's when it was.
I don't know. Had you not? What were you running previous?
Oh God, I had that other machine for what, 10 years or so.
What was it? Oh God, what were you running? Like a 970?
Something like that.
Oh, you really hadn't put anything into it, huh?
Yeah, it was fine. But then one day I took it outside to blow some dust out, and I guess the dust was what was keeping it all together.
I'm doing that tomorrow as well. I'm going to.
So when I plugged it back in, nothing. And I'm like, well, that's not good.
Oh, wow.
Goodness. So I was like, you know, I've been meaning to for a while. So
hell of a time to do it, man. I've talked about it on the show. It's like, if you're going to upgrade, now's a good time. Even though it looks really bad, it's going to look worse.
The RAM and the hard drive, those were the painful. Painful.
I know the RAM was. I would imagine the graphics card would have been.
I got a 5080.
Okay. That's still pushing four digits.
It was.
Yeah.
But it's nice.
No, I get it. I'm not shaming you on the price, dude. That's fine.
Yeah, liquid cooling for the first time.
AIO or like you're actually doing the pipes and everything?
No, it's.
It's the all-in-one cooler?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I didn't know if you were actually doing, like, you know.
I'm not that brave yet.
Oh, me neither. But I've been doing AIO for a while now. And I really prefer it, actually.
My computer, now, the ceiling fan is louder.
Yeah.
Until, like, the graphic card starts kicking in.
Oh, and I'm sure it does with you playing Cyberpunk, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You got the ray tracing and all that. You got the DLSS
all
4
that.
Or 5 or whatever.
4. I'm not running 5 yet.
Okay, yeah.
I haven't run the, with the...
Whatever that is. The makeover effect, yes.
Oh, that the memes that came out of that were just the best.
The Snapchat filter on your video game.
Yes. But, so I upgraded, got, a couple of solid-state drives with the NVMe.
Were the NVMEs expensive? Or which was it all of them? Regardless of hard drive, it was all
yes.
of them?
Yes.
Okay.
But those were the ones I picked up. So they were a couple hundred. But it loads so quick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. NVMEs are great.
So
when I built... when I built the PC that I have now back in October of 2020, that was my first time with this is NVMe. What is this? This is new.
Yeah.
You know, I had not experienced what that is. Was this like you, your first time dealing with NVMEs?
I did NVMe for my PlayStation 5.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. But on a PC build, was this your first foray into it?
No, actually my other one, I had a NVMe.
Okay. Well, yours was, I guess, somewhat newer than mine then at that point.
I did. Or maybe it's just the one on the PlayStation. I don't know. But, it's not that. You just...
Are you AMD or Intel?
Intel.
Oh, okay. Not that it matters. I was just curious which one you went with.
Honestly, they're about all the same. I mean, not that I have anything against AMD. I have had those before.
Mm-hmm.
They're fine.
No, I go with whatever is within my price range. But also... If my price range fits with whatever is the best on the market, then I don't care if it's AMD or Intel. I'll go either way.
Yeah.
You know, so that's fine.
I'm loving it. Of course, whenever you upgrade computers and graphic cards, one of the first things all right, let me load up some of the older games and, like, bump up all the settings and, like, look at it. And, like, okay, let me try this one. And, because I bought Cyberpunk when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And... Everyone remembers how janky that was. It was a broken mess. So I didn't really play it. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to wait. And so I just hadn't played it. And so once I did my upgrade, that was one of the first things I did. It's like, all right, let me put in Cyberpunk. And, man, that thing just, it just got a hold. It's got hooks in me.
Yeah.
And I absolutely loved it. I beat the story.
Oh.
Now I'm on the DLC.
Okay. The
Phantom Liberty.
Phantom Liberty, yeah, Phantom DLC, Liberty, yeah.
I've yet to play that myself. I mean, I got the game. I played it, but I never did get the DLC pack for it yet.
There's a crash. Oof. One of the things I did like about it was the integration of the saves between console and PC.
Had you played it on console?
I think I got it on one of the PS5 whatever.
Yeah.
Because it was in my library.
Interesting.
I'm like,
okay.
All right. Did I buy this? I don't remember.
Yeah.
So I started playing a little bit there. And then when I upgraded my computer, I was like, oh, I was able to port my save over to it. And I'm like, well, that's nice.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it worked really well. The Ascent did that, too.
Okay.
With cross-platform saving, which I appreciate.
So you're doing Cyberpunk? What else are you playing?
Cyberpunk? Picked up Resident Evil 9.
Okay.
Requiem. I beat that.
Checking the Discord to see if Steve showed up, Duke Frukum, because he's a Resident Evil guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Thor has the nice umbrella logo next to him.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I beat that and everything. I'm going back through now. Just one last run before I do Insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And just, yeah, I enjoyed that one a lot.
Get a perk for beating Insanity level difficulty?
You get like a whole bunch of, you get an achievement, you get a whole bunch of challenge points to unlock stuff.
Okay, all right.
I think this is one of the ones I just kind of want to, 100%.
Okay.
Before next month when First Light comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, the big ones. I did the Indiana Jones DLC.
Okay.
And
which I'm still upset that wasn't free for Game Pass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like the game was free if you had Game Pass, and I figured the DLC might be as well, but it's not.
I mean, how much is the DLC?
Well, now, it was $15, I think. No, actually, it might have been more than that.
Oh, I was going to say, like, for that game... Yeah, they,
DLC in my head is still $15, but I understand that that's not the case anymore.
Probably not.
No. DLC is probably pushing 30.
Really, really, really loved the Great Circle.
Yeah.
I thought it was, it felt like a good indie mm-hmm. adventure.
No, it really was.
So
it was
that's
great.
Why I was happy to give him my money.
I was looking forward to playing that DLC, and then when I realized I had to pay for it, I was like, well, that's not in my budget, so I didn't mess with it.
I was finally one of the updates to Hitman came out where I could finally have they finally allowed cross-platform cloud save.
Mm.
So, but like you had to basically choose your primary platform.
What else are you? So again, console.
No, I had it on. It first came out on PC on the
right,
not Steam but Epic Store.
Oh, okay.
And so that's how I played it, and like I got all the DLCs for and. Everything
mm-hmm.
and like all my achievements, all my unlocks, all like that's what I put hundreds of hours into.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, man. And then they had a really good, one of the times like I had one of the super sales on Steam, and I'm like, all right. And then I found out like, oh, I can move all my save data from Epic Store over here, and I'm like, I'm going to do that just because it's nice to have it in. Like one game one thing because I forget about Epic Store.
It's like there are a lot of games out there that where it forces you to like double dip, but like you said, sometimes you just catch a sale at the right time, and it just makes it easier for you to consolidate all of your gaming data in just one platform and be done with it that way.
Like I have Alan Wake 2, but like I forget that it's on the Epic Store, and I just don't play. I don't go there that often.
There was a program I downloaded, and I don't remember the name of it because I actually haven't used it in a while. But it was helping me keep track of everything that I owned. It also integrated with that website that I used to use. I've gone to it periodically, but I haven't been to it. I have it here on my thing. What was that website I used to? What was it called? Well,
it's something that just keeps track of all your purchased.
GG.deals.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Game Purchase deals. Games, yeah.
Okay.
And, if you had an account, which I do, you could log in. And, it's just free, so you don't have to pay for anything. But I signed in, I attached it to my Steam, my PlayStation, my Xbox, my Nintendo, whatever. I attached it to all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in order for it to recognize things like GOG and Epic and Amazon and a couple of other different things.
Yeah.
I had to install this other program, which is not a it's not a problem. I wish I could figure it out which one it is. I'll have to look at it when I get home because I cannot remember. Let's see. The collection wants you to sign in.
It's just kind of a pain to have things in different places.
Yeah.
That you don't always think about.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, this thing, you could just you could fire it up, and it would integrate with this site. So that way you're not looking at games that are on sale that you already own someplace.
Yeah.
It covers Ubisoft and EA and, I mean, just all of the different things.
Yeah, I run into that problem a lot with a lot of my games are on PS4. Mm-hmm. Now that I have a PS5. I mean, do I want to go back to the PS4 to play this when everyone else is playing on PS5? I mean, there's no issue if it's like a crossplay is allowed, but if it's not, then you're going to have to switch over
like
to number
when
five.
They did, like some games, they did that PS5 upgrade.
Yeah.
And that was nice.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Anyway, whatever that thing was, it kept it straight for me and let me know, you know, where I have what games and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I wish I could remember what it was. Oh, Xbox Game Pass, too. It would look at that as well.
Hmm.
It would look at your Xbox account through the Windows, not just your, you know, your Xbox console, because they do have console games up here as well on that website, GD Deals.
Those are the big ones I've been doing.
What about you, RJ? What have you been playing?
Well, just before I got here, I was trying to do squeeze in a league play with the Akai Leagues in Virtual Fighter 5. And Saturday, they usually play on Saturdays and Sundays, right? And Akai, who runs the league, was trying to get us a new title for the game, and Sega agreed to do so, but they've got some technical difficulties going through. They got a Weekend Warrior title that they wanted to make, so we'll be all the participants of the Akai League will be getting that soon. But yeah, they have a Saturday and Sunday league, and I tried to squeeze in a Saturday league, and that's where the bigger, more prominent players are.
Okay.
Apparently. And one of the players there was one of the best Virtua Fighter players in America, Tricky Eileen. And she was in the room with us today. And, you know, I had my matches against her, and they were just one-sided tail whippings. But that's the thing. I expect she's got more experience in the thing, in the game than I do. So props to her. And she's also working on training because she's going to Evo Japan. She's making a trip out there to out to Japan to play in the tournament there.
Yeah.
So we're going to be looking forward to seeing and watching what she does. Outside of that, a lot of grinding in the First Ascendant. There was some events and new things they added in the game, and I wanted to take part in that. I also wanted to do something to try to upgrade my mastery level. Apparently what you have to do is you just have to level up all your weapons and your descendants that you have to pick it up. So I'm seeing folks at level 30, 31, and then I realize, look, I got a whole bunch of weapons in my storage container that I haven't used yet. So I'm just going through the process of take every weapon you got, get it to level 40, move on to the next, and keep lather, rinse, repeat, and eventually I'll probably get to probably level 29, 30, somewhere around that area if I do all that right. So that's something I've been working on there. And other thing I've been playing was, of course, GTA Online, the 420 event. Is going on right now. So basically, anything to do with marijuana, it's got a perk or a benefit or bonus in there. So you got there's double money on weed sale missions for your motorcycle club. You can do the short trip missions that gives you double money. Pizza delivery because the munchies, mm-hmm. they give you four times payout for that, and that's really good for especially if you're a beginner because if you do all those missions properly, you can do. Five pizzas delivered, and you'll get, if you do it right, 89,000 in-game currency.
Okay.
And that only takes like 6 minutes to do.
Hmm.
And since there are, I think, three or four pizza restaurants on the map, you just do each one back to back to back.
Just do a circle.
You just do a circle over and over again, and you can build up a lot of cash for yourself, especially if you're strapped or low level.
Okay.
So all that was in there as well. And but the big part.
I'd want to do the pizza delivery like on the scooter.
It's a scooter, yeah. It's called the Pizza Boy.
Okay.
It's a little scooter that you're going through. You can boost it up a little bit. You can give it a bigger engine, things like that. You can trick it out a bit, but it's still not going to go as fast as your
And I'm guessing these missions are timed. You have to be there within a certain amount of time.
You got to get all the pieces delivered before the heat runs out. You got a heat meter on your display. So if the heat runs out, you know, you're not going to get the hot and fresh bonus. which is about 40,000. So you get about a little over 40,000 with the actual delivery. And then, but if you catch that hot and fresh bonus, it'll kick it up to 80,000 plus. So you got that. Hmm. But the big addition they added to the event was the Stoner Survival. You have to drive out to a certain location. It's this trailer park up in Blaine County. And the hippie encampment.
Yeah.
And you go to this table. There's a lot of paraphernalia on the table. You take the blunt. You hit it. And then after your vision blurs, you're going to wake up in this map, which all these hallucinations, it says survive the hallucinations. Basically, weirdly dressed folks coming out to shoot you. If you survive the wave, you know, you survive. It's a horde mode, survival mode, and things like that. And the weekly bonus this week is that if you can survive five waves of Stoner Survival, you will get 420,000 delivered in your bank.
Okay.
So yeah, that's something you can.
That's an incentive
aim for. Yeah, it is. I mean, it does. And from what I'm told, you don't have to do it five in a row. You can just do clear one wave, go out, come back, clear another wave, and do it that way.
That's good.
If it gets too stressed or harrowing for you. You can do it that way. Yeah. So yeah, that's
you
what
get
I've been
too paranoid.
That's what I'm working on this week. Yeah.
Excuse me. All right. Well, we're going to take a break because we're at the bottom of the hour here. And then when we come back, I don't know if we'll jump into the news or just talk about what else we've been doing. So it's been a minute, but we got plenty to cover as well. If not, so we got music here. We're still in the summer of last year with new releases, and this first one is from the Rogue Prince of Persia. Called Evocation, and we will come right back after this. Welcome back into in-game chat. Music here from Midnight Murder Club.
Okay.
Called Midnight Tribute. Oh, it's got lyrics. I didn't know it had lyrics. We'll just get that off the air in case, because I didn't preview the lyrics. I have no idea what it says. Probably nothing bad, but I don't know.
Probably. Keyword.
But the whole thing here is like, if you're not sure, don't
Luckily,
do it.
Luckily, we don't have a history of...
I know, none at all.
No.
At all. No history whatsoever of that ever happening ever in the history of this show.
Yep.
All right. Welcome back. Shiro, what do we have for our little news show thing? I don't know. There's a lot. Because it's been 2 weeks, right, since we did a show. We didn't do one last week. So I don't know where to start. Record-breaking weekend with the Super Mario Galaxy film, which I figured that would be the case. The reviews are crap, but the money is huge.
Yeah.
You know? So
if you like it, like it. If you don't, you don't.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you haven't put you don't put much weight on a critic's review anyway. I think we talked about this before. I mean...
I do, depending. I don't on something like the Super Mario Galaxy movie. It's like... I get what it's going to, you know, I understand what I'm getting into in this, so it's fine.
Did you watch it?
No.
Okay.
But I watched the first one, and...
I didn't.
Yeah, I watched the first one, and no, I'm not...
I don't want to be that grumpy old man that, like, you know, Charles Martinet's my Mario, but, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
it's you're not going to be affected by.
I'm so tired of him.
Yeah.
So tired of him.
Oh, of Chris Pratt?
Yes.
Okay.
I was trying to remember the name of the person who voiced him, but yeah. Okay.
I haven't seen him other than Guardians. I think that and Mario was the last thing I saw him in, unless it was probably some other animated film he was a voice in, but I don't remember. Mm. So, but like I said, I watched it one time.
Yeah.
The first Mario film, and I can guarantee you it's not going to change, you know, it's not going to change that Martinet is your guy. But didn't they get rid of Martinet anyway?
I don't know. Did they?
Well, like for future Mario games, he's not the voice anymore, is he?
I haven't played. Last one I played was Odyssey on the Switch.
Oh, yeah. Which he did.
Mm-hmm.
But like Mario Wonder? I don't know if he did that.
Is that the Switch 2 one?
No, that's also Switch. But they do have a Switch 2 version. But it was the last Mario game that released on the Switch.
Okay.
But, you know, who did it for Mario Tennis and Mario Mario Kart World? Probably reused.
Probably.
Stuff from his others. But I don't know. I thought they were using somebody else now. That Martinet was done. For doing the voice. Are you Googling something? Your face looks like you're Googling.
August of 2023, Nintendo of America announced on Twitter that Martinet would be retiring from providing voice acting for the Super Mario games.
Yeah.
But would continue to work with Nintendo as Mario Ambassador.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, so he's no longer the voice anymore anyway.
All right.
I don't know who took over.
Chris Pratt.
I doubt it.
Oh.
Yeah.
In June of 2025, it was reported that Martinet is not allowed to perform Mario's voice at conventions.
No, he's not. You know how Nintendo is with their property.
Yeah, okay.
You know how Nintendo is with that stuff.
Mm.
They're horrible about it. The creator of Double Dragon, I don't know why I wanted to call it Dungeon Dragon, but the creator of Double Dragon, Yoshihasa Kishi Moto. Hyphened. Yoshihasa Kishimoto.
You know, you might want to pass the Japanese Kishimoto. Names over to me before
I,
you try
I
to start.
I should.
That, but that's not half as fun.
It's more fun for me to sound it out and figure it out, yes. But anyway, he passed away a couple weeks back.
Hmm.
Super Mario Galaxy movie surpassed box office expectations.
Get him to get the girl?
Oh, I don't know if he had a brother. It's become this year's most successful. Like I said, we talked about it on the morning show, and I said, that movie's going to suck, but it is going to make a ton of money.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, that's fine.
And it's going to continue to make a ton of money until the next big children's thing gets released.
Yeah, tons of people like that.
I mean,
not rave critical reviews, but popular enough to get money hand over fist over and over and over again.
They keep on making Smurf movies, you know.
It's getting money from something.
Yes, yeah, I don't watch them, but you know, not everything's for me. So hey,
What else do we have here? Graveyard Keeper 2 is coming out this year at some point. The original was on Steam for free, and somehow it made them a bunch of money. They earned over $250,000 with that free giveaway. Says you might not expect giving away a game for free would earn its publisher over $250,000, but that's exactly what happened with Graveyard Keeper recently. Lazy Bear Games and publisher Tiny Build gave away the 2018 Graveyard Management Sim for free from Thursday through Monday afternoon, and they earned a pretty penny because of it.
Hmm.
He noted that the game earned over, because of DLC sales, it earned over $250,000.
That's where, yep.
And that was just on Steam.
That makes sense.
They have three DLC expansions, as well as a soundtrack and an art book available. All of them can be purchased as part of a bundle.
You get them hooked with the main thing, and then, like, here's some extended
content. The bundle was only $8.50 during that time, and they made $250,000 on that.
Well, good on them.
I didn't think about the DLC. I knew I had the game, but I didn't check to see about the DLC. So good. Yeah, of course, good on them. I really like Tiny Build.
Yeah.
As a publisher, they're a what's a good they're akin to, I guess, a less edgier Devolver Digital, at being a publishing house that kind of, you know, finds the gems among all the others that are out there and like, hey, this is good, we'll pick this.
Here's a chance.
Really.
That's fine.
Playstack is turning into that as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's Playstack. Playstack did Balatro.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they also did the Raccoon game. So I, you know, maybe they're looking into that as well. But I thought, I don't know why I thought that Balatro was Devolver, but I don't guess it is.
I think there's a crossover between Balatro and Vampire Survivor.
There is. Balatro's...
The cards.
Yeah, Balatro's stuck its foot into a lot of stuff.
A lot of different things.
Dave the Diver, I think, has Balatro stuff tied into it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Balatro has Dave the Diver stuff into it, Vampire Survivor stuff into it.
I'm looking forward to Dave, too.
This rat coin that I have has a skin for your coin pusher machine that is based on Clover Pit. Mm-hmm. Which was another game that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
So I got something.
I'm one skin away from unlocking all the skins. Yeah, what's up?
The Kickstarter that I did for Revolution Studio for the Broken Sword Reforged was such a success that they just started the second one, Smoking Mirror, Kickstarter.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And within like 15 minutes, it was funded.
Yeah.
It was backed.
Nice.
And so I backed that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good.
Giving folks what they want.
I mean,
it does wonders, don't it?
Yeah. I mean, I like it when they take some of those old pixel games and make it where they redo, completely redo the graphics, but like with a hit of button, it goes back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did that for the Halo Master Chief Edition.
Yeah, there's a lot of retro titles that have been done. They'll give you the upgraded mode and the original mode.
Yeah, Outlaws, Dark Force. But, like, yeah, for the Halo, it was most obvious with the first game, Combat Evolved. But, it's just neat to be able to, for the Broken Sword, whenever I go to a different screen, I just, like, swap back and forth, just check it out. Then, all right, continue on with the game.
No, what was I looking at here? Oh, you guys in the chat were talking about Metro 2039.
Yep, that just got the trailer.
It did, yeah, it did. It got the trailer, I don't know how long it was. I know it was a 15-minute video because it was a bunch of, you know, developer commentary that they were interviews and stuff.
It was like a full-size, you know, full-length trailer.
It was, that showed absolutely no gameplay.
No.
Although, it's like, what, the third in the series, or is this the fourth?
Oh, let's see, 1, 2, 3...
They don't go by 1, 2, 3s. They go by
they had
years and subtitles.
Yeah, Exodus was the third. Then they had the VR one. Mm-hmm. So if you count the VR, this would be the fifth.
Yeah. So I mean, you know what you're kind of getting when it comes to that. And there was in that little developer diary that was on that trailer, there was a little bit of gameplay.
I'm curious if who the character is that you're playing, if it's Artyom. From the, you know, the previous games?
I've only played the one.
Okay.
When I say the one, I don't mean the first.
Okay.
I mean that sequel that was used for... the big show of that game was when they unveiled, like, the Dune Buggy Underground. Mm-hmm. And you could look at the cloth physics from when he pulls the cloth off, and it was like, this is, like, would go back and show this over and over again. That's the one I played. I don't remember the name of it.
Okay.
But it's the second one. I'm pretty sure it's the second one. But I never did the third or anything. I never did the first game. I never did the game after the second one. I only did that one single second game.
I haven't done Awakening, which is the VR.
Yeah.
I have it, but I just haven't hooked up my VR stuff for it.
I really liked it. I really liked that one that I played. Me and James, I know, talked about it because we were both playing at the same time. So,
I've always had access to that series, but I just never got around to playing it.
I'm in the same boat because they've been, for whatever reason, on sale, like as a bundle on Steam or through Humble Bundle or something like that. Well, I think I've got them.
Free on Plus. Do this.
Yeah.
Pick it up.
I think I've got them, but I just haven't done anything with them.
It's probably the same boat. Stuck it in the library and just forgot about it.
Yeah.
I'd say they are worth it.
Yeah.
It's a first-person shooter with a dark storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Post-apocalyptic Russia.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's neat just having a game not set, you know, in the U.S.
I know, for post-apocalyptic, yeah. stuff, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And what else do we have in our news?
Okay.
PS5 sales reached year highs. That being because the price was going to increase, and so people went out and bought it before that price hike occurred. Do you have a PS5?
Yes.
Okay, I thought you did.
I don't have the Pro, just the...
Right, just the PS5. He picked up a PS5. RJ picked up a PS5.
Yeah. I have the disc edition.
Same. I think you have disc or digital?
Disc.
He's got disc as well. Okay. So we're all running with the discs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that's the only thing I have that still has a disc player.
Disc drive in it, yeah.
Yeah. Did you see they released the singer for the new Bond game, First Light? They released who's doing the song and the opening credit video for it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw where they had released the opening credits on the thing. Did that game get delayed again or no?
Next month.
Okay. What am I thinking? Something got delayed again. I don't know. If I probably put it in my thing here.
I had to ask people at work who she was.
Fable. Fable was the one that may have gotten delayed.
Okay.
Yeah. Although I think they said that it's not.
Yeah, I didn't know who Lana Del Rey was, so I had to ask.
I did.
I listened to it, and I like it. It sounds like a Bond song.
Mm. I have not listened to it, actually.
The opening credits, they have that, like, remind me of the old Morris Binder in a way. Yeah, I like it. But, you know, I also really like Bond, so I'm an easy sell on that one.
You Are know? You an easy sell on this game?
Oh, a cross between Bond and Hitman?
And Hitman?
Yeah. I think...
I mean, I was
the target demographic.
I was saying that in a way more sarcastic tone than it actually came out in my head, because I was like, oh, really? You really?
I mean, throw a lightsaber in there, and then I'd be like, all right, you know what? You got me.
Yeah. Speaking of, and not necessarily the Bond aspect of it, but a lot of when I watched that gameplay demo, that 20-minute gameplay demo from remember how long ago for the Bond game, I got a bunch of Uncharted vibes out of it.
Yeah.
And we got some news about Uncharted 5. Naughty Dog apparently floated the possibility of making a new Uncharted game in the year since 2016's Uncharted 4.
Okay, but like 4 was just such a good... It ended in such a good place. It was such a good game that wrapped everything up.
Planning of an Uncharted 5 had taken place prior to 2020, the COVID-19 situation.
Yeah.
There were no further details about apparently plans or what the story for a fifth Uncharted game might be. There's nothing really planned. Recently, a Naughty Dog higher-up posted a cryptic research photo that gave off major Uncharted vibes, leading some to believe the studio was teasing a new Uncharted game. Listen, they're still working on Intergalactic right now. I doubt they're trying to promote or... get people talking about anything other than that.
Yeah.
You know? Outside of pushing, I guess, Last of Us Season 3 on HBO at some point.
Eventually.
Yeah.
I don't think they've even started filming.
I don't think they have either. A decade ago, Naughty Dog suggested it was finished with the Uncharted series, but studio head Neil Druckmann said Uncharted 5 could happen with a different developer. Naughty Dog would assist an outside studio to help make sure whatever team made a hypothetical new Uncharted game could get the essence right. Naughty Dog has at least 2 single-player games in development. We only know about one of them, Intergalactic. They could also be working on Last of Us 3, but they are working on something else. We just don't know what that something else might end up being. So, fine by me. You're right. I think it did end where it needed to end, although there's been plenty of things that have ended where they should have ended, and they kept going.
Yeah,
they should not have tried to get the money grabbed. I mean, an Uncharted 5 it would have to be like the next generation of Explorer or
well,
some
that or you just run with characters. You just run with and I'm going to call her by her actress's name because I don't remember her name in the game, Claudia Black's character.
Oh.
That I can't remember the name of.
But they did that already with
they did a little side, yeah. They did a little side thing, but they could just keep going with that if they wanted to. In other words, Chloe, yes. Yeah. Yes. I think. I'm almost positive. I think it is Chloe.
Chloe Frazier?
Yeah. Chloe Frazier.
Yeah.
That sounds really familiar.
I enjoyed that little side mission that she did. In the side game?
And, yeah, well, Uncharted Lost Legacy. Yeah.
I enjoyed that a lot.
Was it her, Naomi, and Nate's brother? Those three?
I think so.
Yeah.
But they could spin off with that. They did with that game, so I mean, they could go with that if they wanted to. But it doesn't seem like Naughty Dog kind of wants to go down that path right now.
That was the, was it a standalone side story?
Yes. It was
Uncharted the
Lost Legacy.
The Lost Legacy. Yeah. Okay. Like it didn't have a number attached.
It was originally supposed to be DLC for Uncharted 4.
Mm-hmm.
I think. But
and it came in my 4 bundle on Steam.
Yeah, but they decided to make it an expandalone.
Okay, that's the term. I can never remember the term, but yeah. Like that thing with Miles Morales.
Right, yeah. It's an expansion, but it's something that you can just pick up by itself. You don't need the game in order to play it.
You know, speaking of Miles, the actor that does Spider-Man kind of teased that they might be working on Spider-Man 3.
The third, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or a, you know, standalone like Miles Morales.
Yeah.
But then he had to, like, take the post down.
Oh. You're showing too much.
Yeah. I am looking forward to the Wolverine.
Yeah.
Whenever that gets, what is that? That's in December, or is it this year? They gave a date.
I think it's this year, but I'm not sure when.
Is it this year?
I think so.
I think you're right.
I hope so.
But I think it may be like October or November of this year. Or
it says September 15th of 2026.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
September.
Okay.
Yeah. I know we did get a date on it. I just couldn't remember if it was this year or next.
I mean, like, dates are just
suggestions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starfield finally released on PlayStation 5. Did you ever get that Starfield?
I played it on the PC.
Yeah. Did you go back to it now that your graphics card is, you know, beefier? Not that you
I
were
think
having.
I just kind of got burnt out on it.
Yeah, I know. I'm not really having problems.
It was
problems.
Interesting, but then it just, the story just, I don't know.
I know.
Didn't hook you?
No. Like, yeah. I think I kept on playing a lot of, you know, I kept on playing it just because I was like, oh, I have something to do. But then once I started thinking about it, I'm like, do I really enjoy this? I'm like, you know, not really.
I mean, a story-based game, even if the gameplay is excellent, I mean, if the story doesn't hook you at all, I mean,
it just feels like a chore
going through it.
Yeah. I think that's what, it just felt kind of chorey.
Yeah.
Did you play it?
I did, yeah.
What'd you think?
I was hoping to get a lot more out of it than I actually did.
Yeah.
And I never really could.
Because that was Bethesda, right?
It is. Mm-hmm. It was, Bethesda.
Yeah, I was hoping, you know, like, I was hoping for something like.
I know. You wanted Space Elder Scrolls. You wanted Space Skyrim.
The Fallout. You know, something.
Or, yeah.
Just some of
either
that,
of
like,
those.
It just didn't feel like that.
It didn't, right, for a lot of people. Apparently, the PS5 version's having a whole lot of problems. Fans are complaining of crashes, freezes, save issues, things that are just unplayable in its current state. So, who knows? They have not yet publicly commented on the issue, but a day one patch doesn't seem to have helped anything.
Hmm.
So, we'll see. But
glitch is part of Bethesda's charm.
I was going to say, welcome to Bethesda, your PlayStation folks. Who haven't been able to enjoy that if they were just on the Sony console, because you can't do that, but yeah.
Every now and then I still have fun with Fallout 4 and all that, man.
All right.
I tried loading up New Vegas again, and it just kept on dying. It actually crashed to Windows.
With your new stuff?
Yeah.
Really?
That's the one I haven't finished yet. It's just up. It was New Vegas. I think it was frustration from having to micromanage every single thing I had to care. Like, you have to dismantle your bullets or something. I think it was like...
Oh, you played on the extreme difficulty. Yeah.
Of course he did.
And But the weight thing was just annoying to the point where I had to take a break and back off. But I wanted to get back in that and finish what I started, really.
That one had one of my favorite perks. One of my favorite perks, the Wild Wasteland. I love that perk.
Yeah.
It's like nothing to help you. It's just weird things are going to happen. I'm like, all right.
Life is just going to happen out there in the wasteland. Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break here at the top of the hour. When we come back, we'll keep going into our news here and our chat with Matt and RJ. And we've got music here from a game called Drag X Drive. It is the main theme of this, and we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Again, to In-Game Chat. Music from a game called Herdling.
Okay.
You basically herd animals, but they are animals that have different special abilities and things like that to help you continue to herd the animals. And you earn, I don't want to say power-ups, but different abilities, I guess, to help with the herding of the animals.
Mm-hmm.
It's made by the same people that did... Oh, gosh. It was a... It's not a sequel, but it's a second game from the same company. And I cannot remember the first game that they had done that I really enjoyed, and so I gave Herdling a shot because it was on Game Pass, and I really, really liked it. I didn't play much of it, but I really liked what I played, and thought, okay, I'll come back to it. And I just never went back to it. Interesting thing about that music, though, when I found the video for it, when I was looking up music for Herdling, they have a bunch of different tracks that you get to watch the performers performing on those instruments,
mm-hmm.
which are an eclectic group of instruments. It's not your typical, like, a bunch of people in an orchestra. It's like one guy laying down, you know, here's the steel drum track. Now here's the oboe section that I'm going to play, and now all these different things. Whenever the instrument comes in, you get to see the guy performing it. And it was interesting when I got it. Most of these, when I'm looking for these videos or for this music, it's just a splash screen of the game's logo and then music playing underneath it. You know, this was nice to kind of see, you know, how the sausage is made, I suppose.
Yeah.
A way to do that. But just one of those things. Oh, something else to mention. For those of you with Switch 2, there, Costco is having... it's only on three specific games, but you remember last year around, it was just before Black Friday, I think,
mm-hmm.
They had Donkey Kong Bonanza down to like 30
yeah.
bucks.
Mm-hmm. I went to Costco and saw it, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a low price, yeah.
There's three of those games that are now 30 bucks right now at Costco. If you have a Costco nearby that has them in stock, I think you can check the app if you're a member.
Mm-hmm.
And see if it's in your store. The one here is, absolutely, but if you're listening from out of town, from some other place, check your app and see if it's still in there. Pokemon A to Z,
okay.
Which I'm not a Pokemon guy, but I, you know, that it's a Pokemon game, and it's down to $30 for the Switch 2. A game that is normally 70 is down to 30 bucks at Costco.
Look, it's just the fact alone that Nintendo's offering discounts. So
yes,
I don't know that it's out. Nintendo. You know,
it's a Nintendo product that is being
discounted, right?
So, yeah,
that's the reason you jump on these. Kirby Air Riders, I think, which is the Kirby racing game.
Mm-hmm.
It's down to $30, and Metroid Prime 4 is down to 30 bucks.
Mm.
So three really kind of big titles that are down to $30 over at your local Costco.
Mm-hmm.
Here they have it at that. So check that out. If you're looking for those games,
mm-hmm.
They're on the cheap now for your Switch 2.
All right.
So I was looking at a hurdling that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Those some big creatures.
They are. They're not normal.
Sure, hurting them, or they're hurting you.
Yeah, they're not typical normal type creatures.
Yeah, they're not,
you know? No. And I can't remember, but there's puzzles to solve with them, which mm-hmm. That's something I really enjoy, is your environmental puzzles and things like that. So, it's also real chill and relaxed.
Yeah.
It's not some sort of like get your blood pressure running and getting that up, trying to do stuff. Same thing with these like the coin pusher game. It's not something that's raising my blood pressure and getting me frustrated or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You are at the mercy of RNG for what can pop up at the store. But that's the reason that you work on getting tickets. This is jumping back to Rat Coin Tips here. The reason you work on getting tickets is because you can re-roll the shop. Now, every time you re-roll, the price of re-rolling goes up and up and up.
Yeah, just like Balatro, yeah.
But the price of the items in the shop don't go up.
Mm-hmm.
So you just keep re-rolling until stuff pops up that you need. Every third round, there's 15 rounds per character.
Mm-hmm.
Once you hit 15, you can end the game or you can play endless mode and keep going to see how much you can go. The first time I beat it on the very first character, I decided to go endless. I only had to get up to like 500,000 points. And I had done that. And I said, okay, let's do endless. The next milestone was 6 million.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, oh, this is a little tough.
Well, that escalated quickly.
It did. But it doesn't. 6 million is minuscule to what I can get that thing to now.
Mm.
Depending on how RNG serves me, right?
Yeah. Usually it doesn't.
So early tips for the game is work on your tickets early on. Afterwards, when your tickets are coming in, like by round 5 or 6, maybe even before then, by round 4, I don't even have to put in my own coins. You get like 40 coins, 20 to 40 coins to start out with that you put on the slide to push coins off. Well, at some point, because I bought all these odd different coins, I don't even have to put my own coins in the machine. I just launch these from my clip. And because they're so powerful and because they synergize with my other modifiers that I have going on, I barely use any of my coins at all.
Hmm.
But another thing to get you through the game, you don't always have to have this, but it's really helpful. It is called, I can't remember. I don't remember the name of it, but it allows you unlimited refills. So you remember the coin I told you that it will explode?
Yeah.
So if you have enough space on the board, then it'll, something comes into the game and puts more coins on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, per round, you get 10 of these. But if your goal is to hit like 1 million or so, and you're knocking all these coins off, it's already filled up its 10. And once it's done, it doesn't fill up anymore. That makes it very hard for you to advance because you have no coins on the table to push off.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to put more coins on the table, but eventually you run out. So to get the one that allows you unlimited refills, and there's a way to do that, but it's based on RNG. You have to be offered that. Every third round, like I said, they put bad coins onto the table.
Mm-hmm.
Bad coins have different modifiers. Sometimes it... cuts the scoring of what you have in half. Sometimes it eats up, for every one coin you spit out, it eats up two others in your hand.
Mm.
There are all kinds of different bad coins. And there's a way to factor these, but every time you clear a round that had bad coins and you clear the coins off the table, you get to pick this continuing perk, like the unlimited refills on the board, an extra chip slot, the black hole I talked to you about where you hover over a space, it'll make mm-hmm. that space larger to pull in the coins and that sort of thing. Lots of different little things, which I'll go over tomorrow, but just some tips for those who may be playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I got off on a rant on that, but anyway. What else do we have? Disney took off like a bunch of Star Wars titles from Steam.
Did they?
Yeah. 15. Yeah. Oh, 3 months after Disney delisted 14 Steam games with no explanation, the House of Mouse is back with another silent mass exodus. They have pulled 15 more games from Valve's from Steam. You can't buy them at this point or play them unless you already own them. Here is the full list. Bolt, Brave, the video game, Disney's Treasure Planet, Battle of something.
I say none of these are Star Wars.
I realize that. Star Wars Dark Forces.
Oh, so that's probably the original Dark Forces because they have the the remaster.
Star Wars Rebellion.
That's, yeah, I remember that one.
Something called Outlaws.
Oh, yeah, because they remastered. That's the old Western one.
Is that that one? Yeah.
They remastered that one recently.
What else did they do?
I mean, they're probably taking off the ones that, like, the older ones that got remastered.
Yep. Mm. It looks like many of these games are facing licensing limitations, a problem that routinely sees platforms pulling old games based on popular media. There's still plenty of Disney games on Steam, Dreamlight Valley, Epic Mickey 2. So they'll probably be fine. Outlaws, by the way, is still on Xbox and PlayStation right now.
Is it the new one?
No, the old one is still there. The new one is, I'm sure, as well.
Okay.
They pulled it from Steam. They did not pull it from consoles.
Okay. That has some amazing music in it. Like, it very much like feels like a Morricone, you know, spaghetti western.
Did you pick up the remaster?
Oh, yeah.
I figured you did. What else do we have? Looking through. There was the Double Dragon thing. Oh, you know what? The BAFTAs were last night.
Oh, were they?
They were. And there's a there is a strange winner. I say strange, but it really it's one of those kind of happy ending type stories. The winner of Best Game was Clair Obscur, okay. Expedition 33. Mm-hmm. I think we all kind of saw that coming.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Best Animation was Dispatch. Have you played Dispatch?
I haven't.
Okay. Best Artistic Achievement, Death Stranding 2 on the Beach. That's something else I haven't played.
Did you play the first one?
I own it, but I haven't played it, no.
I tried.
Yeah, I know.
Kevin, like, he sells me on it, and he keeps on saying it's amazing, but Kojima and his stories are just...
Well, I've heard 2 is a better... It's one of those things where it's like, hey, we've improved on everything that needed to be improved upon, and we've also, made things better that weren't even in the first game, you know what I'm saying? Like... It's one of those situations where it seems like it's the better one to play, but due to continuity issues, you got to play the first one.
Yeah. I tried watching, like, here's a video of the story explained, and even that, I'm like, well, I give up. I give up.
No, I'm not trying to learn the story. I'm just trying to learn your gameplay loop, really. Like, I'll be satisfied with whatever that loop is of having an open world and traversing these things on foot or by vehicle or whatever else, but... I don't need to try and understand your story. I'm never going to get that far.
I just wish he wasn't so weird.
Mm. But then we wouldn't get games like this. Not saying that they're amazing, but...
It's for
getting,
somebody.
Yeah, there's Weird's, always, getting him, Weird's getting him paid and getting stuff put out there for the masses.
There's always a game for somebody.
Yeah.
And getting him attention from a lot of different people that...
I mean, I can't get Conan O'Brien to talk to me, but yet here he is in, Death Stranding, so...
Audio Achievement was Dispatch.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Best British game was Atomfall. Did you play that?
I didn't. It's on sale right now.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's why it went on Steam sale.
The best debut game was Clair Obscur.
Because, Atomfall is done by Rebellion.
Yes.
The people that did Sniper Elite.
Sniper Elite. You're exactly right. Best family game was Lego Party. Mm-hmm. Best game beyond entertainment was, I'm going to mispronounce this, probably Despelote.
Good job.
Yeah, did I get it right?
You got it right.
Game Design Blueprints, Multiplayer Arc Raiders.
like blueprints.
Have you played Arc Raiders?
No.
Have you played Marathon?
The original.
No, I'm not obviously talking about the original.
And Durandal.
Yeah.
And Infinity.
Not that's, talking about original.
I think that's why I have not played Marathon, the new.
Ghost of Yote won Best Music.
I like that one. Good music, too.
Narrative was Kingdom Come, Deliverance 2.
I have the so I have that and the first one.
I have the first one. I don't have the second
one. I started playing it, and it's...
It's a very, very realistic...
It's not easy.
Yeah, it's a medieval simulator.
I like how, like, you could get...
It's like how Rainbow Six, old yes. Rainbow Six, but only put in medieval
like, you
times.
Know, medieval, like, health care system.
Yeah, no. It's very, very, like, simish.
Yeah.
When it comes
oh,
to
my
that
character
time period.
Has exposure. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, was it Oregon Trail?
Yes.
In a way.
But very, very advanced.
Yeah.
What else? Let's see. New intellectual property, South of Midnight. I don't know if you played that, but it was a lot of fun.
I haven't heard of it.
It's Game Pass. It's okay. Xbox exclusive. It's very music based.
Okay.
And really, really. It's also tight. It's a story. There's no deviation from it. It's very linear. It's got a beginning. It's got an end. It's got no multiplayer, no DLC, yeah. Nothing else. It is its own thing. It's made by the same people who did...
Charge?
Nope. Man.
Contrast.
What was that one they did afterward?
We Happy Few.
We Happy Few. Okay. That's what it was. That's what I was trying to come up with.
So you say like music-based? That reminded me that...
not rhythm-based. In other words, you're not trying to do it on the beat.
Yeah. That's coming back, apparently.
I know. Dead as Disco is one I'm really kind of curious about.
You know, like kind of a spiritual successor to Rock Band?
What is?
They're getting like some rhythm-based games like that where it's, I think it's going to... Like with the... You know,
I did see that there was like a Guitar Hero or something
like that. It's not
that was advertised
stage something.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I was like, "Whoa, we're doing that again!"
But it was like, "Here's your plastic guitar with your color coded frets and everything." Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. I guess that's coming back.
Yeah, but no. South of Midnight is
stage tour.
Huh? Yeah,
stage tour.
That's what it's called. Okay,
Steam rhythm action game. Yeah.
Every boss fight in South of Midnight is a song.
Okay.
Not one that you play, but just one that plays while you're fighting the boss.
All right.
Originally written, the Compulsive Games, I think is the name of the...
Compulsive Games.
Yeah, is the name of the company. Written by them, performed by, you know, it's really, really good. Performer in a leading role was Claire Obscure Expedition 33, Jennifer English.
Okay.
Esmael, I think, is the name. Performer in a supporting role... was Jeffrey Wright as Chase in Dispatch. Technical achievement of the Ghost of Yote. The one that I wanted to highlight, and you probably saw me skip over this one here, RJ, was... Now, BAFTAs are considered pretty whatever, posh and excellent, whatever,
yeah.
That sort of thing. Very British. High art, because it's British.
Yeah, the yes. British fine arts. Snooty.
Exactly. I wouldn't say snooty, but sure.
Posh is a good word for it.
It seems among the industry that it holds more weight than like a VGA, you know, like a video game award.
I mean, VGA feels like, you know, the old MTV popcorn
bucket. Right, as much as they're trying to gloss it up.
BAFTAs are kind of like the Oscars.
Right.
Yeah, some awards have more weight than others.
Prestige.
I guess.
Best Evolving Game. No Man's Sky.
All right. I mean, from where it started to where it's at,
the redemption arc that game had.
I did not see coming. Yeah.
Which feels like this is the pinnacle of what they could reach from where they were.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
right?
Almost, I mean, like, Cyberpunk kind of had that, too.
A good redemption,
Nothing has had the
but
arc
not quite
that
as
No Man's Sky
No Man's
has
Sky
had.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has... This would be as though... and why is my brain so horrible to remember things?
Because we're old.
Probably. What was the name of the game that didn't last very long on Sony? It was a multiplayer game. Concord.
Yeah, Concord. Yeah.
Thank you. God. This would be if Concord, for whatever reason, came back from where it is right now and just
wiped the floor.
Yeah, with the player sentiment,
mm-hmm.
goodwill, DLC, yes. Just hard work, everything else. Like these guys at is it Hello Games?
Hello Games,
yeah. The guys at Hello Games, from what they went through, which is basically uber hype at the game's release to under the ground reception of mm-hmm. the game after release, to clawing their way not out of their own grave but out of hell itself, further in to come out of this and not only climb out of it but go even higher
mm-hmm.
with the amount of free DLC they were putting out.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has been free. You buy this game once
and
I think you've got everything. There is no Game of the Year edition because everything comes with it once you buy the main game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it has just done... I'm just so impressed with it, and I'm proud of the guy for...
Yeah, look, what did I say earlier, Matt? Giving people what they want. It does wonders, don't it?
It does.
Yeah, so.
But almost, you know, like, if they wouldn't have shot themselves in the foot by releasing it too early, you know, that they wouldn't have had that redemption arc. They could have just been like, wow, this is amazing from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not just releasing it too early, but releasing it, I mean, after the interviews that he was given about all the things you can do, which were things you could not do when the game released, but that he was able to eventually make happen.
Yes.
And then add in other things that you never even expected to have with this game.
Yeah.
But eventually you did. And so, yeah, I am I'm highly impressed with how far that game has come. So congratulations to them at Hello Games
for whatever
to pull off. Just really, really good. Thanks for the blueberry tip, Super Game Sniper. Blueberries apparently help with memory.
Oh, they're really good oxidizers too.
I don't know that blueberries is going to help with age because I really feel like it's just age doing this. But yeah. Oh, should we take a break? We're close to it. We might as well. Let's go to our break here, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the rest of the show here. With more to talk about, I'm sure. And we've got music from a game called Ra Ra Boom. I don't know anything about it. It's called Cosmic Conditioning is the name of the track. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Discounty, the main menu of that game. And welcome back into the show. I don't know, news-wise, I mean, there were probably some other things that I'm forgetting. We're getting a Resident Evil film. They showed off some of the Call of Duty, I think. We're getting a Call of Duty movie.
Okay, I was about to say live action or animated.
Live action Call of Duty for 2028.
Okay.
Which will probably get pushed back. The Resident Evil's live action as well, and I can't remember who the director of that is, but it's pretty good as far as like, hey, you ought to be pretty good. Safe hands is what I meant to say.
Did you watch Welcome to Raccoon City?
I don't think so.
It was kind of like a...
Was that animated?
No.
No?
Live action. Came out, I think, last year. Kind of like a retelling of Resident Evil 2, in a way.
Hmm.
I started it, and I'm like, all right.
Mm. Okay. I'm trying to think what a viable plot for Call of Duty or just get your generic army mission thing going for that one.
Zach,
because no one really thought. I mean, from what I've talked to other folks about Call of Duty, that no one ever really cared about the story. They just went for the
multiplayer
type thing. So,
Zach Kreger is the director of Resident Evil, the guy that did Weapons.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, the horror.
That was a good movie.
That was a little eerie horror film, right?
Weapons. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Using the
which I think kids. Was also from Long Legs. Was that also? Didn't he also do Long Legs?
I don't know.
I don't remember. Anyway.
Sorry, missing.
I mean, there's some good movies coming out this year. We're talking a little bit about the Street Fighter movie.
Right. Trailer for that showed up. Street Fighter showed up.
So good.
They announced an animated Bloodborne film.
Yes, I heard. Okay. The dude has a tattoo of, like, one of the Bloodborne things, and so I think it'll probably do well, you know, I hope.
Hopefully he'll have reverence for the storyline and plot, so it looks like they will. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, CinemaCon was going on all week this week, and so
yes, it was.
Just movie after movie announcement after announcement, trailer here and there, you know.
Some of them got online, some of them didn't.
Yes.
Okay, what were you asking about Long Legs?
This is director.
Osgood Perkins?
Okay, no, not the same one then. I don't know why I thought it was him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about Bethesda, and Pete Hines did an interview. Hines quit Bethesda in 2023 after 24 years at the company, shortly after the release of Starfield, which we talked about. Which was its first game since Microsoft had bought the company in 2021. Speaking in an interview, the former Bethesda veteran claimed that it was always his intention to leave the company after Starfield shipped, and suggested that he was unhappy with the direction of the company post-Microsoft acquisition. Quoting him, he says, "It was really hard to walk away from my team and not get to see them on a regular basis. At the same time, I also hit a point of realizing I could not spend the rest of my life doing something that was not for me. It was for everybody else, which is what I was doing. I was staying there because this place still needs me. I just hit a point of, yes, it needs me, and I am powerless to do what I think needs to be done to run this place properly, to protect these people, to maintain what we had worked so hard to create, which is an incredibly efficient, well-run video game developer and publisher." He continued, "And when I couldn't protect it, and I saw how it was getting damaged and broken apart and frankly mistreated, abused, whatever word you want to use, I said, I'm not going to sit here and watch this happen right in front of me. I think I've done everything I can do. This is not when I wanted it to end or how I wanted it to end, but that's not really up to me. And at a certain point, truthfully, my mental health was so deplorable that I just said, I cannot." Hines said he was waiting until Starfield's release before quitting Bethesda, but repeated delays meant that he stayed on for nearly a year longer than what he had planned. "Every time Todd delayed Starfield, I thought..." Well, there's an explicative there that I can't say.
Bad things.
Yeah, I thought, I'm here for another 8 months. And Todd was the only one who knew. Though he didn't offer any specific grievances, emails published as part of Microsoft's legal battle with the FTC over its Activision Blizzard deal, suggested that Pete was confused by the decision to allow Call of Duty to remain on PlayStation while Bethesda was allegedly told to make its titles Xbox console exclusives. Well, there was a contract there, Pete. I mean, I get it. This is me talking now. This is not from the article. This is not from the interview. It's like, understand that, you know, it was... As much of what Skyrim is, as much of what Fallout is, neither one of those is the behemoth that is Call of Duty.
No.
Now, Call of Duty currently, I don't think, is the behemoth that it used to be. But even Call of Duty's worst is still better than Bethesda's best.
It's still a big deal.
You know?
Call of Duty's still a big deal.
It is.
Yeah.
Although sales didn't do too great this year. This past release.
Whatever.
No, they messed up a good bit this time around, but still.
You know, but it's still got to wait, and it'll still be anticipated again when it releases. Anyway, the former publishing boss continued in the interview, "That was the worst part." Yeah, that was the worst part. "It was to join a place that I genuinely was a fan of, and people there I genuinely held in high regard and esteem, and then to get there and see how it actually worked."
Don't meet your heroes.
Yeah. "To talk is something, right? But I'm very much about what is the follow-up to that. Do you mean what you say, or are you just saying stuff that sounds good, and then as soon as you leave the room, that's completely forgotten? Because that's not how we ever operated at Bethesda. And that's not to say everything we said we did. Yeah, we probably didn't come close to that." Boy, there's a lot of words I can't say in this interview. "But that was absolutely our intention. We are going to do what we say and say what we do and be genuine and be authentic. And truthfully, I still think Bethesda is just part of something that is not authentic and is not genuine. And that shouldn't be a surprise to you." That's a pretty eye-opening interview there. Pete's got some beef. Pete's got some beef with the with his Bethesda group there.
Yeah.
Man.
We get no response?
No, there was nothing responded to from Bethesda on that, no. Now, there may in the days to come or something, but I doubt it. It's probably one of those things where it's just like, we're not commenting on that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That'd be the smart thing.
Yeah. A company usually won't, but then again, you know, we talked about, and they're in the news here. Remember Krafton and their deal with Subnautica 2?
Yeah.
Krafton is no longer listed as the publisher of Subnautica 2 on the Steam page, with Unknown Worlds now appearing as both developer and publisher. They have a complicated relationship, of course. Krafton acquired Subnautica developer in 2020, Unknown Worlds in 2021. Last year, they fired the studio's leadership ahead of Subnautica's 2 planned early access launch. The CEO of Unknown Worlds and then sued, alleging that Krafton only fired them to avoid paying out a $250 million bonus, which would be triggered if Subnautica 2 hit certain performance goals. A judge agreed on that, and Krafton had to reinstate the CEO's Unknown Worlds back in. Krafton's name, now being stricken from the Steam page for Subnautica 2, as well as Xbox Store listing, has some speculating that the two companies are preparing to split. But that's just speculation. Krafton still owns Unknown Worlds, and the change may purely be cosmetic. A representative for Krafton told PC Gamer that Krafton is currently focused on successfully supporting the early access launch of Subnautica 2 and that they have nothing else to share on the matter. So, a lot of that going on. There was also some more layoffs. That's just apparently is the way things are just going to work in the world now. Checking my time here. Let me go to read later because I think I had that written down there. Iron Galaxy, that's the name of the company. Oh, goodness. Just over a year after laying off 66 employees and what the studio said was a last resort effort to enable their long-term survival, Iron Galaxy, the developer of games including Killer Instinct Seasons 2 and 3, Rumbleverse, and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4, have announced that it's once again reducing their company size. They did not say how many were laid off, but they are... Yeah, they didn't say how many people were let go, but included among them is former communications lead David Daig, well-known to gamers for his long tenure as Deej, Bungie's community manager and communications. He left Bungie in 2020, joined Iron Galaxy shortly after, and now his job is now gone as well. So, yeah, more layoffs there. It was Iron Galaxy. What else do we have in news? Windrow's Steam numbers show that people want a pirate game or like their pirate games. Windrow's, I'm kind of curious about it. It's doing pretty well on Steam. It involves pirates, but I don't know. It's apparently got a story mode to it, but it's more of a survivor curious, pirate type thing.
Is it anything like Sea of Thieves?
I don't think so, but I don't know.
Like in the open world, piratey sort of like...
kind of, but less like fire yourself out of a cannon type thing, you know? Oh, we got a date for Assassin's... Speaking of pirates, we got a date for Assassin's Creed... the
Black Flag?
The Black Flag remake, whatever it was called.
Four?
It is, but they gave it a subtitle for like the remaster. And I can't remember what it was called. But we did get a date for that, June 9th or July 9th, I can't remember. Let me open that article back up, because I think we did get... No, I guess we didn't. Oh, Black Flag Resynced, that's what we got. It's called Black Flag Resynced. Launching on July 9th. That might be one that I jump back into, but I'd like to see some info for
it. I like the sailing in that.
Well, Windrose, the game we were talking about, uses basically the same ship combat controls that Black Flag used.
Yeah.
It's not a Ubisoft game. It's not... boy, there's that memory kicking in again. Skull and Bones that Ubisoft was trying to do. Meta is raising the price of the Quest 3 and the Quest 3S because of memory prices, which is kind of like they're eating their own, because Meta is investing into the AI stuff, which means they're buying up the memory, which is now causing their products to increase in price because of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, some of the news that happened after I put together the news, by the way. This other thing is about Valve.
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Yeah, you hope so. Some digging through the steamy innards of Steam could point to Valve having plans to roll out a 30-day game price tracking beyond the European countries it's currently a feature in. That would make it easier to tell at a glance whether the discount that's tempting you towards blowing some cash on another addition to your backlog is actually the boon you think it is, or an increase on some previously lower price, as spotted over on the Steam database by a Steam scour with the handle of whatever. Some new code related to whether a game at its lowest price in a 30-day period and whether it's previously had a different discount applied to it appears to be swimming around in the store's back end. It is already a feature that Steam has in EU countries because they had to comply with the European Union consumer protection laws there, designed to increase transparency around prices and the sale of goods. This new code could be an indicator that Valve are planning to roll out this feature in countries beyond that existing crop. Assuming that's the case and the 30-day discount info looks the same as it does for those EU countries, you'll be able to see a handy little box next to where you click to buy a game, with said box showing what price it normally is, what price it currently is, and the lowest price that it's been in the last 30 days.
Hmm.
Speaking of, there is a browser extension. So that's the thing. I never shop Steam through a browser.
No.
But anytime I am on Steam in my browser for like clicking a game title to add it to the wish list or something like that, if you're signed into it, I have that extension, Augmented Steam, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
And that shows you, you see what the current price is. It'll tell you here's the lowest it's ever been, and it'll tell you where it is currently on sale for the lowest price.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of nice to have. It doesn't use key resellers, but it would do something like, I don't know, Games Fanatical, I think, is a legit store to buy from. The Humble store is a legit store to buy from. Yeah. It'll show you legit stores that you can go and buy those that are cheaper. But you have to be browsing on the web in order to do that.
Mm.
So now we play the waiting game to see whether any of the Steam updates Valve put out in the near future include these handy price trackers for all, or at least more than they currently have them in. I would imagine it's something they put in there because probably they expect another country to come at them with, hey, you need to be showing off your prices here, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just for them to be able to have that in the back end to turn it on for the next time they get, you know, struck with a, hey, you're, if you don't do this, you're going to be violating our laws and then you're going to owe us a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. So. Anyway. Talked about Disney. We talked about that. Rockstar got hacked.
Yep. They're threatening to release the...
Oh, they already released it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Cause, right. And it had no effect whatsoever.
No.
In fact, what it absolutely did... So here's the thing. Even though the hacker group successfully broke through some of Rockstar Games' security and extracted internal data, the developer and its huge publisher, Take-Two, haven't minded the unfortunate event very much. In fact, it seems they've come out on top. Earlier this week, GTA Online, still making Rockstar around 1.3 million per day. The online portion of GTA mm-hmm. is making Rockstar $1.3 million a day, with annual estimates nearly hitting $500 million from just microtransactions alone. That's insane. Take-Two stock shot up yesterday after the release of some of that material because it was showing their revenue. And so because it showed off like what they were making, Take-Two stock increased. It did not hurt them whatsoever.
No.
So, yeah. The stock was valued at $195 last Friday. It's now sitting at $205, up from $202 when the market opened yesterday. The biggest jump happened over 30 minutes early in the morning EU time. Nothing is known about the likely next iteration of GTA Online yet, but considering the games industry is still waiting for more details on Grand Theft Auto 6 November 19th release, it might be a while before the powers that be are ready to unveil what the next multiplayer GTA looks like. So yeah, still waiting on that. That is going to leave a massive window in your holiday release, November 19th for GTA 6. I suspect you'll see games released in October, and then I suspect you won't see anything new release until
like
close February.
To December, yeah.
More than likely something around February for that. Mm-hmm. But yeah. It's going to leave a massive window of nobody wanting to jump into that pool.
No.
Fable, by the way, did not get delayed. There was a rumor that it had. The Fable reboot is still currently set to arrive autumn 2026, while a report claiming that it could slip beyond that point buzzes around. The report came in question from Jeff Grubb from Giant Bomb, who claimed Microsoft are concerned about releasing the game too close to GTA 6, which is set to hit consoles November 19th. I'll say that I've heard that Fable has been pushed internally, he stated. That doesn't mean that it's coming out next year. Apparently, they're still trying to get it out this year, but they're worried about the launch of GTA 6. And so if it's getting delayed beyond the release of GTA 6, that could push it into December, which might make it a prime candidate to get delayed into 2027. Mm-hmm. So while Xbox have a lot of games coming out this year, that's one that's still a big question mark around it. For what it's worth, the person or people with the keys to the official Fable socials aren't budging because they released a tweet that said, excited to welcome you back to Albion in autumn 2026, basically stating that, no, we're still set to release this year.
If they could pull it off, sure.
Well, of course they're going to still put that out there. They wouldn't announce a delay this soon, nor would they confirm a delay this soon. That would come much later. First off, we don't actually have a date. We have autumn 2026. I would imagine at Xbox's big thing coming up in June, beginning of June, for not E3, whatever they call it now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Keighley has it Summer Games Fest, but whatever they call this thing. We should get a date for Fable, I would think, around then. I would think. I don't want to say that we will, but you've been teasing us now for Fable for quite some time.
Yep.
And you finally gave us a date back in February, I think, or maybe January, with a dev diary type, with their Day of the Devs or something. I don't know what it's called.
Whatever the latest online event they got.
Yeah, so it was Xbox's little developer thing that they go into. Inside Xbox, something like that. Anyway, they gave us a date as far as autumn this year. Mm-hmm. That's what they gave us. So now we wait and get something a lot more specific. You're not going to have any of those, by the way, coming up until maybe late May. I know we've got a deep dive into whatever that not a Yakuza game is, but made that looks like a Yakuza game, and I can't remember the title of it.
I think I know the one you're talking about, but yeah, I can't think of the name of it either.
I know.
I want to say one of the actors is was from that earlier Yakuza game.
I can't remember.
I can't remember right now. Yeah, it's been out of sight, out of mind. Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, I know. But we're supposed to get a deep dive into that coming up, and I don't know. I don't think there's anything scheduled. We might get something in May for Sony, maybe. Mm. But as we get closer to the summer, whenever we get all these different, you know, gaming events, Summer Games Fest, and all these different things, we'll get more information about.
E3.
It's not E3, but yes, yeah, really, the E3 season.
Yeah.
The not E3 season, I guess we could call it. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what we're supposed to call it.
I think it's Gang of Dragon.
What?
The Gang of Dragon, I think, was that game we were trying to remember.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think that's it.
Really?
But I also don't remember enough to know.
No, we'll see the pictures.
Yeah, I can't remember.
We'll see the pictures and we'll go from there.
Oh, I forgot to mention that Amazon got rid of Luna. Their streaming service? They're removing access to individual games, third-party subscriptions, and its bring-your-own-library feature. It's a cloud service, Luna, which I've never used.
No.
I don't think about gaming when it comes to Amazon anyway, so.
I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're kind of shaking that up and changing it. Oddly enough that I would forget to mention it, because I'm not sure who uses it. It's not something I hear people mention. So yeah.
I don't think about gaming with Amazon either, but
I do log in and get their free games on like Epic and GOG and everything that they offer it, but I don't ever play their service, their Luna service.
It was interesting to see the Amazon Studio credits for First Light.
Well, yeah, because they own the Bond franchise.
They own the Bond franchise.
The IP, yes, they do. So, all right, we're coming up towards the end of the show. Matt, thank you.
Hey, my pleasure.
For stopping by.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah, I feel free to continue to do it. It's great to have you in here.
Yeah.
And RJ, thank you for coming as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for the show off last week. I just was under the weather, and it was pretty bad.
Pollen is terrible here.
Oh, God, it was horrible. It was rough.
One of our neighbors has a cottonwood tree, and it's just, ugh.
It actually developed the Sunday after the show prior that we did, and then it was all week. It was my voice got nasty. You came down with some stuff, I think, too, RJ.
Yeah,
didn't you?
Something that was flaring up in me, so I started doping up immediately.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. Anyway, we will be back next week. We will do it again. I got music here from a game called Bendy Lone Wolf, and the name of the track is called The Lone Wolf. You guys have a fantastic week, and we will see you next Saturday. We'll be right back.